time to join our American family Robinson again in Centerville. Our last program took place on the occasion of turning the first spade of earth for the construction of Mr. Jason's new factory, with Editor Luke as master of ceremonies. Bill Winkle was one of the speakers, and it just warmed up on the subject of a history of human endeavor when the audience walked out on him, all except Miss Timmons. Luke and Mr. Jason sneaked out for a breath of air, and Gus Olson, also a spectator, has long since left in disgust. Luke and Mr. Jason, who has agreed to offer Winkle a job as office boy with a big title, has just returned to the speaker's platform and find Wendy going on and on like Tennyson's Brook, but showing signs of weakening.
And so the shades of history look down upon the scene today and seem to shout with one voice, onward, onward, while the welkin rings. I thank you. Thank you, Miss Timmons. Thank you very much. Well, Luke, what did you think of that for a speech? Luke!
Your speech is next, Wendy. I'll introduce you.
Next? But I just finished it.
To be sure. A very good speech. Wasn't it, Mr. Jason? Mr. Jason.
Well, I must say it wasn't appreciated.
Why, of course it was, Wendy. Mr. Jason is just sunk in a brown study considering that last thought of yours. Weren't you, Mr. Jason?
Ouch! What?
Very good speech, that of Wendy's, don't you think?
Very good.
Oh, Bill, I don't know when I've been so thrilled by speech-making. You just ought to devote your life to public speaking.
Well, I've always thought I had some small talent in that direction. Which part did you like the best, Letitia?
Well, now, I don't know. The end, I guess.
I was very much impressed, Mr. Winkle. So much so, in fact, that I'd like to offer you a place in my organization, if you'll consider it.
There you are, Wendy. Real appreciation.
Now, that's very nice, I'm sure, Jace, old boy. But I don't know whether I could consider it. You see the little woman here? Well, this is Miss Timmons, my fiancée.
Delighted, Miss Timmons.
How'd you do? Well, Bill's sort of setting the cart before the horses, twere. I'm not exactly his fiancée, but you'd have to excuse him. He's so impulsive.
Nonsense, Letitia. You're practically my fiancée. But as I was saying, Jace, when the little lady finally capitulates, it's going to take all of my time, I'm afraid, to manage her affairs. Thanks just the same for the offer.
Well, I don't know as I'd be quite so uppity, Bill Winkle. Won't do no harm for you to have a job. That's no drawback to any man.
You better at least listen to Mr. Jason's offer, Wendy.
Well, if Letitia favors it, I might consider it. Perhaps you ought to leave us, Letitia. I'm afraid the details of a business deal would bore you. But I'll call on you this evening, if I may, and we can go over the high spots in my speech again.
Well, you can call if you want to. But I'd rather go to a movie.
Oh, well, very well, Letitia. A movie. At 8?
All right. Goodbye, Bill.
Goodbye, Letitia. And now this offer, Jace, old boy.
Oh, yes. A charming woman, your fiancée.
Of course, when I marry Letitia, the responsibility of taking care of her money will leave little time for anything else. But I didn't want to say so in front of her. She might get the idea that I'm marrying her for her money.
Very considerate of you not to disillusion her.
Yes, isn't it? But until the nuptials do take place, I wouldn't be averse to listening to a good opportunity.
Mr. Jason is looking for someone to act as a contact manager for him, Wendy, and he agrees with me that you're just the man.
Contact manager?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't believe I quite know what that is.
Oh, all the really modern firms have them. Someone to meet the public, to act as the representative of the firm when people call, receive them, make a good impression, discover their wants, and direct them to the proper department.
Is that so? Well, they think up something new every day, don't they? Contact manager. Well, that would really be quite an important position now, wouldn't it?
The contact manager is a vital part of any business. He makes the wheels run smoothly, as well as acting as the front, you might say, of the organization.
Well, now that sounds just like the sort of thing I would fit into very nicely. Sort of figurehead, eh? Interview the press and whatnot.
Well, you'd better get the job before you begin to worry about interviews, Wendy.
Oh, yes, Mr. Jason. Now, if I take this position, you may be assured that I will bring to it all the experience, knowledge of human nature, and native intelligence of which I am possessed.
that I will do honor to the title of contact manager. That I will...
Yes, yes, I'm sure of that. But about salary. Of course, we consider the dignity of the position something of a compensation in itself. And therefore, I fear you will find the financial recompense quite small.
Now, Mr. Jason, it was never my nature to be interested in the gross rewards of initiative. And I beg that you will say no more about it. Anyway, money is something that I won't have to worry about after I leave the blissful state of bachelorhood.
We'll consider it settled then. And now I've got to catch a train. I'll be down occasionally, Mr. Robinson, to see how things are getting on.
Good, and we all hope for an early opening of Centerville's newest industry.
I'll keep an eye on the construction work. Can't be too careful about these people. I'll see that you don't get gypped.
Oh, don't bother. Your duties don't begin until the factory opens, you know. But in the meantime, you can send me reports on how the work is progressing. Goodbye, Mr. Robinson. I enjoyed your talk today very much.
Thanks, thanks. Goodbye.
Oh, and yours too, Winkle. Yes. Yours too. Goodbye.
Goodbye. A great scout, Jace, isn't he? You know, I think he and I'll be able to do big things around here.
Now, if you don't mind a suggestion, I think you'd get along better if you called him Mr. Jason, at least to his face.
Why, but Luke, that's part of the success of my personality. And you will observe how successful that is by the fact that I've been offered the contact managership of the factory on the force of my personality alone.
You know, Wendy, for a man who claims to oppose capitalism as much as you do, you're going to an awful lot of trouble to be a capitalist yourself, even to the length of marrying Miss Timmons. How do you reconcile all these goings-on with your socialistic convictions?
Well, quite simple, my dear fellow. I advocate socialism for the good of all the people. But for me, personally, well, a fellow has to do the best he can for himself.
Oh, come now, Wendy. Even you can't be quite as much of a hypocrite as that sounds, even though I do have my suspicions of a lot of people who talk like you do.
Well, of course, if socialism ever comes to this benighted country, I'll be only too glad to share my property in return for a share in everybody else's property.
Yeah. You think you'll be well off with a share of everybody else's property?
Why, sure. Isn't this the richest country in the world?
It is, and it has 126 million people in it. Your reason will tell you that all the income of the people in the United States, if divided by that number of people, would allow only a small amount per person. The exact figure, I believe, is $43.50. Not an adequate amount for bringing up a family.
Well, of course, the money wouldn't go far. But how about all the other wealth? Jason's factory, for instance. That promises to be a good-paying little proposition. I'd like to have a slice of that.
Mm, and divide it up with thousands of other people? And have also a slice of a gold mine, oil well, railroad, automobile factory? How are you going to manage these things you will own a fraction of?
Why, the government. Get the government to run them. The people just reap the profits from them.
Haven't you even noticed that the extension of government activities has a direct relation to the amount the tax collector takes out of your pocket, or at least the pockets of working people?
Well, I suppose the taxes would increase.
Increase? The average person works 2 days a week for the tax collector now.
Well, anyway, the wealth would be in the hands of the government instead of a lot of a businessman.
Well, I don't know that any one class of people is more qualified to handle the wealth than another. After a fairly long life of observation, I fail to discover that politicians are more to be trusted than businessmen.
Oh, Luke, you always have an answer for everything. But what are we going to do about our great social problems?
That's just what I'm using every means in my power to do something about. As long as we pursue economic policies which threaten the elimination of all profit and which strike at the rewards of energy, ambition, and frugality, necessarily business hesitates. New projects wait. Unemployment continues, and social unrest increases.
Oh, well, I may be wrong. In any event, you needn't worry about me bringing about the dawn of socialism. You know, I've decided not to run for Congress after all.
Well, now, this is as far as I go. I've got to go up to the office for a while.
Well, I believe I'll go with you. You know, I want to see Gus Olson when he hears that I'm going to be contact manager for the factory.
You might as well take up his time. He seems to have a lot of it.
Well, perhaps when he learns what an important figure I am, he'll have sense enough to retire as a suitor for Miss Simmons.
You know, Wendy, I gathered that the only thing that concerned you in this romance was the thought that Miss Timmons has some money.
Why, Luke, even if Miss Timmons were a pauper, I'd consider myself the luckiest of men just to be her husband.
Good. But remember that you expressed that tender sentiment.
Remember? Why, of course I will. But why do you ask me to remember?
Oh, I may remind you of it later. Oh, there's Gus now, playing pinochle with the printer. No, Windy, I'd appreciate it if you'd call him away so the printer can do some work.
Now listen, pal. Here comes a guy I don't like. I gotta put away the cards and make out like I'm busy. If you'll play up and say yes, sir, no matter what I say, I'll give you the last hand.
Pinochle, I got your feet anyway.
Well, listen, will you do it for 10 cents a guy?
Okay.
Yes, sir, Peters, I says to my banker just this morning, I said, if it wasn't for the faith and confidence in the investor, where would business be today? Here, Peters, have a cigar.
Sure. Yes, sir. Thanks.
Ah, there, Gus. Having a little game?
Hello, Winkle. Well, Peters, I gotta be seeing about my investments. Thanks for showing me that I'm using a little game. I'm always interested in how the other half lives.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Hey, Gus, now, wait a minute. Where are you going?
Sorry, Winkle, busy. If you want an appointment, Miss McGillicuddy will make the arrangements.
Oh, busy? Appointments? What is this, Gus, an act?
Listen, Winkle, when you start laughing, you'd ought to be careful who you're laughing at. A guy like you, with no visible means of support, has got no call to be laughing at an investor, which is the backbone of industry. The boss said so.
Oh, investor. Who's an investor?
Me, Winkle. And when you get old and look back on your wasted life, you'll be saying, why didn't I follow the example of Gus Olson and build a foundation for a comfortable old age? That's what you'll be saying.
Oh, you, an investor in what?
I'm the owner of a share of the Jason factory.
Jason, one share. Oh, this is rich. This is good.
What's the joke now?
Why, the joke? Why, the joke? The joke is that I'll probably be responsible for the size of your dividend.
What are you talking about? What have you got to do with it?
Why, this, Gus, simply this. I have today been appointed contact manager of the Jason Shoe Factory.
You're a something in my company?
Yes, sir. Not only something, but somebody. Why, a contact manager is about the most important somebody in a company, right next to the president himself.
Is this true, Winkle?
Of course it is. You can ask Luke.
Boss! Boss!
Here, what's the matter? What's the shouting for?
Boss, is it true that Winkle is an officer in my company that I got an investment in?
Well, he's going to have a job with Mr. Jason, if that's what you mean.
Then I got to sell right away. What? No Winkle is having no job and no company that I got an investment in.
No, wait a minute, Gus. You don't understand. Windy won't have anything to do with your investment. Mr. Jason is a sound businessman, and he will handle the affairs.
But he says he's the contact manager.
Well, now, perhaps I better explain that there's nothing to worry about. Oh, is Windy out of earshot?
Yeah, but...
Well, come in and shut the door. And if you'll keep very quiet about it, I'll tell you just what a contact manager is.
If Windy could only listen to the definition of a contact manager in Mr. Jason's factory, he might not be so set up over his new job. Apparently, Gus has the last laugh now. What with his status as an investor, even though he only has one share of stock, he's one rung higher than Windy Bill, the glorified office boy. They both seem to be running an even race for Miss Timmons. But if Windy knew that Miss Timmons hasn't got the fortune he suspects her of having, there'd be another shock in store for him. Join us in our next program and see what happens. Until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Douglas Silver and Marjorie Bartlett and produced by the National Industrial Council.